Well, Al is back from the Berta. Why the takeover ets, ya heard a. Now Victor is gone, but the show must go on. We got a hodgepodge episode. Berta?
That fresh produce stand there. That's a beauty.
What do yous listen to?
My favorite murder podcast.
Taggart and Torrance podcast.
The produce stand.
Fucking sexy.
It's Thirsty Thursday, and that means we are once again hanging out at the produce stand. Podcast paying tribute to everything in the universe. Now, I know what you're thinking. There are many other Letterkenny podcasts out there, but this one knows what potpourri means.
Does it now?
I'm Al, your host, and joining me in the room, as always, is the lovely Tanya. Online, we have Squirrely Matt, and Victor is across the pond in London hanging out with Trolley, so he won't be joining us tonight. Yeah, so it's just going to be the three of us for now.
Oh, just the three of
us. But we're going to have some guests coming on in a little bit. So let's get this started here.
How are you now?
Tonight's lineup is going to be Matt, Al, and Tanya. Whoop, whoop. Matt, how have you been, bud? It feels like forever since we've done an episode.
Forever?
Well,
it's been
what, four weeks maybe?
I don't remember.
Three.
So last week was the takeover at, which we'll talk about. The week before we had our
ladies' night.
Oh, the ladies' nights. That's right. And the week before that would have been our egg haul, right?
So, okay. So 3 weeks.
Yeah. For Tanya,
it feels
2 weeks.
I miss you guys. It feels like a lifetime, man.
Yeah.
I've been good. Lots going on. I got a new hat.
I love it.
That is a nice hat.
Did you go to said place? Beer?
I did. Yeah. Muskoka, it was my buddy's. Spa? Yeah, my buddy's 40th birthday. We went to a place called the Muskoka Beer Spa up in just outside of Bala. We had a good time. I feel like it's one of those places like they're open year round, but really probably shouldn't be because it looked pretty run down in this time of year. But in the summer, I feel like it could be fun. It's basically they own a brewery. It's Clearwater Brewery, which the beer was actually really good. And they own the land across from their brewery, and they've got a bunch of cabins and some hot tubs and a pool and some saunas, and they call it a spa. So you can rent a cabin for a night or two wherever you want and enjoy their facilities and drink all you want.
And it's kind of cool. It's kind of old school, right? Like they kind of go on the retro side of things, don't they? Or yeah.
It looks old. Like it was cool. Like it definitely was my kind of vibe. I wish things were open. Like obviously the pool wasn't open. Even the hot tubs they didn't have up and running. So really it was just the saunas. And we were the only ones there. So of all the cabins, we were the only ones there. But what's really cool, which of course we said yes to, is you can order beer ahead of time. When you get there, they've converted the fridge and all the cabins into a kegerator. So basically, there's a tap on the counter. So you just get in and there's a tap ready to go and you start drinking as soon as you walk in, which I've never had access to a tap like that. So that was fun. And of course,
did that get messy?
Sloppy, I think is the word.
It was a sloppy night. It was, I think it was like a 4 a.m. night, but we had a great time and I brought home this hat. So there was that. This week, I can sum up as my beanbag chair week. Is really
right. Island. Yeah, it's the epic saga of the beanbag.
yeah. So we've been. I don't know if I talked about this before. We've been my two older guys share a bedroom. It's not a massive room, but we wanted to divide the room so they each have their own space. So we bought a couple of those like IKEA loft beds. They fit side by side perfectly. We've got them their own dresser and some other stuff. And I'm actually going to be building a wall between their two beds. It won't go all the way across. There's not going to be a door or anything, but at least it creates a partition. Mm. So they each have their own, you know, feeling of space. And then it leads us to the beanbag chair. So we're like, let's get them a couple chairs to throw underneath their loft so they can hang out. And in my typical ways, I found what I thought was a great deal. This beanbag chair from, I think it was Costco or something, but it was used, but it could be washed. But fuck, this thing was massive. Like, I took our new Highlander and my son, and even my son Riley was like, "Dad, that's too big." I'm like, "No, it's pretty good." He's like, "It's too big." I'm like, "Well, let's just take it anyways." So I bought it and he's like, "Why are you buying this? Jenny's going to be pissed." I'm like, "Yeah, she is."
Yeah.
And it barely fit into our SUV. That's how big this thing is. Like we had to like force it in, fold things down. It was massive. And of course, we get it home, and as soon as I roll into the house, the look on Jen's face was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm like, and I'm playing. I'm like, it's perfect, babe. It's totally perfect. Like, let me go. And we're rolling it up the stairs.
Oh, boy.
And
she said,
where are you going with that? I'm like, you have to see it to understand. Like, and I'm in my head, I'm like, I know this thing isn't staying. But I played it through. I'm laughing my ass off hysterically. And at the end, she's like, you know that's going, right? I'm like, yes, I know it's going. She's like, why the fuck did you buy it? I'm like, because it was worth every bit of this. So I had my goal this week was to get the money back that I spent $50 on the thing. Mm-hmm. So I sold it for 50 and got rid. I didn't make any money off it, but I got rid of it. It was sad to see it go because it actually was quite comfy, but it was the size of a house.
You could have kept it in your garage.
You could have had it on the big deck in the summer.
If it was weatherproof, I probably would have, but it was like a, I don't know.
Microfiber kind of.
It was something like that. Yeah. But then today I found, so let's rewind for a second. 2013, an amazing movie comes out with the great Canadian actors Seth Rogen and Jay Baruchel. This is the End, if you
I remember that.
Fucking amazing. Yeah, okay. And there's one scene that always stuck with me where they're kind of scared at night and they're cuddled up together and Jonah Hill's there and they're laying on something and I see this word in the corner and it says Fat Boy. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I went down a rabbit hole. Fat Boy is a brand of beanbag chair, and I've wanted one ever since. Well, today, my dream came true, guys. I got a Fat Boy beanbag chair.
Nice.
Really?
Congratulations. Yep, is it there? Is it set up? Is it?
Oh, I know. It's upstairs. It I should have had it handy. Yeah, I'll drop a photo of it. It's just a big-ass rectangular beanbag chair, but it's amazing, and it's everything I ever dreamed it would be. So now we own this. It's for my son, but really, deep down, it's for me. So that's my
Jen's going to be like, you spend a lot of time in the boys' room these days. You've slept in there a few times, too.
Well, we've been battling over this for, like, weeks, of what we're going to get them for beanbag chairs, and I've been pushing this Fat Boy thing for weeks, and then I totally fucked up with the one, and then finally I'm like, I'm getting this one. She's like, I don't even care anymore. Just get something.
Oh, so that was the game plan.
You got to play the long game, guys. You got to know how to work the angles. Wow. And so now I have a beautiful blue beanbag chair in my son's room, which I will be spending a lot of time in. So, yeah.
We're too old for story time. Shut up, kids.
I see your gigantic caterpillar. Our daughter has one of those, and it's called Twinkle Toes. Why does yours seem so much longer, though?
Yeah,
it's that thing's got. I think it's 6 feet long.
Okay, maybe it's the same length.
Yeah, it's the same.
It's huge. Yeah, it's my. We got. I don't. Jen got it somewhere. I don't remember where she got it from, but it was upstairs. And finally, she's like, "This is a. We got a new futon here as well." Mm-hmm. So she's like, "It'll look great there." I'm like, "Fuck, throw it there." So now this is, I put the ass right here.
That's that I love. Yeah, you need I to love turn it around.
I should. It would make more sense.
Yeah. Very cool. My week. Well, I'm back from Calgary. Last week was March break here in Ontario, Canada. But it was also my trip to Calgary, and I had a great time. Calgary's beautiful, especially near the mountains. Banff and Canmore are just gorgeous, gorgeous places, and I highly recommend anyone to go visit. Sadly, I didn't get to Lake Louise, but I will next time because we're hoping. I think we're planning on getting out there this summer, so we'll see. But anyway, good time. I was out there recording stories for Yes, We Were Open. Got lots of great stories recorded there, so it was a very successful trip. Tanya will talk about what I left her with, but and I also had a few a couple of interviews came out featuring yours truly. Was from the pod camp that Casey and I attended a few weeks back. I had a nice chat with the folks from podstars.net, and they're one of their guys, Derek. He interviewed me, and because he was very curious. He was very interested in how we managed to get 220, almost 230 episodes of podcasts done about one topic, which is Letterkenny. And I said, well, it's Letterkenny and Shoresy, but but sure. And he really loved hearing about the takeover teams and teams. And just all the stuff that we do and a lot, all the crowdsourcing we do for these episodes, which tonight's just going to be another example of that. And he's like, he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe what the community for this podcast is able to do, week in, week out. So, kudos to you guys. If you haven't heard the interview, I'm going to apologize ahead of time. The sound sucks on my end, but that's because, Derek was interviewing me with a handheld mic. And I could not hear, like, he had headphones on. I did not. If I knew I was that low in the mix, I would have spoken louder. But it was basically, he had the microphone in his hand, and he was going back and forth between the two of us. So that's why I'm so quiet. Otherwise, I would have spoken up. But I also was interviewed by Caddy Lauer from Pod the North. And that one was a fun interview, too, because I got to talk about the Kiso bump that we got and what it's like having a podcast and having your white whale interview. And, so if you haven't had a chance, that one, there's a newsletter. You can read the interview. It was recorded, and there's an excerpt of it that you can listen to, but if you want to hear the whole thing, you have to, subscribe to her newsletter. So, unfortunately, I have no control over that. That's how she makes her living. So, you know, but it was a great interview, a great chat. And if you can, check that out as well. But yeah, now I'm back home and we're about to finish. We're halfway through the last episode of Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Wow, you guys did that pretty quick.
Oh, we got hooked.
This has become a very serious addiction.
Yeah. Yeah. And you pretty fast learn to not fall in love with any characters, right?
Like, oh, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No.
Like they just, you get your heart broken again and again and again.
So yesterday we watched halfway through episode 6 of the last season. Little did we know, I only found out today that that's actually the last episode. So we're almost done.
And it's a really good conversation starter if you're looking to talk with your partner about other things. Because there were quite a few moments where we had to pause and then try to figure out where the relationship was with each one of the characters and if there was incest involved.
Which usually the answer is yes.
The answer was yes.
Yeah. And I think for me, aside from that, it was around that episode when I finally learned everyone's names as well.
The last episode.
Yeah.
Oh man,
which one's which again? Who's Tyrion? What's it like? Oh my god, I can't keep up with the damn names.
Anyway, it was a really, really great series, like so well, like high production value, obviously great acting, just amazing storytelling. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, we haven't watched the last half of this episode.
Hopefully. And how they connect the stories, like they give you one little tidbit and then like we go forward and then they reference back to something and then it's like, oh my God, you have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Quick question. What was your favorite storyline throughout the series? And there is a correct answer to this.
It's impossible to tell. Like they're all so great. So I can tell you my favorite character, and I think this is probably common for everyone, is Tyrion. I think as far as I'm concerned, he's throughout the entire series. He was always, every time there was a story with him, I paid attention to the whole thing, but I really enjoyed Peter Dinklage in that role. I think, and as because of it, now I've watched a bunch of his other movies and he's just a really great actor.
Oh yeah. He's fantastic. So I think my favorite storyline though, like, and yes, I agree. Dinklage from a character specific, amazing, was the Arya Stark storyline.
Arya. Her story is great. Yeah.
End to end was just, I was so enthralled with what was going on in her world. But
yeah. Mm-hmm. Tan, how have you been?
Oh my gosh. So yeah, life got crazy and hectic. You went to Calgary. I stayed home with our son who had his wisdom teeth removed. So all four teeth came out. And I love how Matt is laughing at that. So
he's turning the caterpillar around so that he can watch us. Now, creepy. Before people get mad at me for leaving her during this time, we planned it this way. She told me she'd rather me leave during March break and not when the kids are still in school and she's having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. So
yes, we did. We did review and he had a surgery on the Friday and Al didn't leave until the Sunday. So there wasn't an overlap. Mm-hmm. And I had thought that was going to give us enough time, but unfortunately Al left on Sunday night and then I think that's when shit went sideways about 11:30 at night on the Sunday. Bleeding started and we couldn't get it stopped. And all the stores were closed and he had sneezed and he held the sneeze in and it just went pop and all four just kind of started running and we did the gauze and we compressed it and I had to run over to my parents at like 1:30 in the morning trying to get tea bags because apparently whatever it is in tea.
The fucking tea bags in your mouth.
Yeah, so whatever it is in black tea, it has to be caffeinated. I only have decaf. Whatever it is in caffeinated tea can stop or congeal blood and stop it from bleeding. So anyways, at my parents at 1:30, grab the tea, back here, trying to do the tea, three rounds of that, an hour and a half later, still not stopping, on the phone with the on-call doctor at 3:30 in the morning. And we got to the point where we needed to wait until they opened at 8. So I packed his gums and he had like these two big gauze sticking out of his mouth. Cause of course you can't just have gauze in your mouth. You're going to fall asleep and choke on it. So it had to be like tethered to the outside of his mouth. So if he started to swallow on it, I could pull it out. And so I stayed awake all night. I was having like really serious flashbacks from being in the healthcare field and doing home care and my overnights. So I stayed in a chair all night and I watched him get a couple hours sleep. And the bleeding finally slowed down enough that I got an hour's sleep before the clinic opened or the oral surgeon's office opened. And it was a very, very, very stressful and very long, long night, but good to say or happy to say that everything ended up working out well. It stopped. And he is the fastest healer I've ever seen. Like those holes are already closing up and they're looking amazing. And he's already he was eating and ready to start eating as quickly as possible. So he's doing really well. It worked.
Yeah. So he's good.
So he's good.
Yeah, he's fine.
Okay. He's good.
So I have a serious question. So prior to all the blood, did you get to enjoy any of his drugged out hysteria? Oh,
absolutely.
Like that's the real question.
That was the fun part. So he was so much fun. So he has a very deep voice. You've met him, Matt.
Yeah, I've met him.
He has a really deep voice. His voice is actually almost deeper than yours, Al.
It is now. Yeah. Yeah.
It's deeper than yours. And, when he came out and he was in La La Land still, his voice was high. I don't know why, but he was like, he's like, what's going on? He's like, where am I? How'd I get in this chair? And I'm like, they wheeled you over here. Oh, he says, so what happened? And I said, you had your wisdom teeth out. I said, everything went really good. Oh, did it? And I'm like, yeah, it did. And he's like, oh, that's good to hear. And I'm like, okay. Anyways, I have video of it because
I hope you do.
He had asked me to take video before anyone gets upset with me. He asked me to take video of him and my sister's away right now on vacation. So she was also wanting to be a part of it. And, oh my God, we've watched it so many times. He is the funniest. He was just in a loop talking about how many garbage cans there were in the room, how many water bottles there were, how he got in the chair. And I said, the chair has wheels. You were wheeled in. No, he says, no, it doesn't. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm not going to argue with you. You're not here right now.
It's so true. You want to go down a rabbit hole, just go into like YouTube or TikTok or something and look up videos of kids coming out of anesthesia of wisdom teeth. And it's some of the best shit. God. I know. I obviously don't remember it. And video phones weren't a thing when we had ours out. But my parents told me that they actually had to escort me out a back entrance of the dental office because I was so just... like I was singing and so all over the place. They didn't want to scare their patients. So they escorted me out the back door in order for me to leave the building.
Yeah. He doesn't talk very much, but wow, did he ever, he became such a chatterbox. And we were like, you got to stop talking. You got to keep pressure on the gauze. And he's like, oh, okay. So how long was I in there for? The clock says this time. And I'm like, you were only in there for an hour. And then he'd say something else. I'm saying, okay, quiet now. Oh, okay. So why is this happening? It was like talking to Victor, just like constant questions coming out. I'm like, what is happening right now? Stop talking. And the nurse was laughing and the nurse was laughing. And he's like, why are you laughing? I'm like, you're just being really funny right now. I'm like, stop talking. Oh yeah, it was good times. But yeah, that went well. March break went well. It was just a whirlwind. Whenever Al's away, March break is chaotic as it is, trying to balance work and surgery and kids. And oh my gosh.
Well, fuck Al. Not only did you leave on surgery, you also left on March break.
Which again, is kind of easier.
We planned
though,
it that
right?
way. We planned it that way.
Because then there's no lunches to do. There's no more early morning wake ups. Everybody can just sleep in. Everybody can go to bed whenever. I don't know.
She told me to book it that week.
I was going to bat for Tanya there. She turned that right around. So I got nothing now.
So wouldn't it be easier though? Like,
no, Martin, you lost all credibility.
I guess. Yeah. Well,
all right. Yeah. Here we go. Let's get going on with this episode because it'll be interesting how this goes.
Previously on Letterkenny.
Last week, while I was away in Calgary recording stories for the Yes, We Are Open podcast, we had a takeover, but not by the usual takeover team. We were taken over by the takeoverettes, Chad, Joey, Cassie, and one of our newest members, Sykes. This week, I didn't have a plan until this morning. We don't have any one big thing to talk about, but we do have a bunch of little things to talk about, so we're going to talk about them. We're just going to sit here and talk about them. And we'll answer questions. We have some guests lined up. We've got some people sent us some messages. So stick around. It's going to be interesting. Here we go.
Well, don't bore us. Get to the chorus.
First off, I asked our Discord if they wanted to send us any messages on IG, voice messages. By the way, folks, you can do this now. With IG DMs, you can record your voice instead of typing a message. And if you do that to Produce Stand Pod on Instagram, we will play it on our podcast, as long as it's, you know, not hateful or gross. If anything else, though, is fair game. So if you want to hear your voice on this podcast, just follow us on Instagram. Send us a DM with your voicemail or with your voice message and we'll play it.
This is fun.
Yeah. So we have a few. I'm going to start here with the first one here from our buddy Jeff. Let's listen.
Hey, guys. It's your buddy Jeff over in Maine. Just curious, outside of the Letterkenny universe, what is your all-time favorite Canadian television show? And then what is your all-time favorite overall television show? Thanks.
Okay, Matt. So Jeff wants to know Canadian television show and then all-time television show.
Yeah, it's actually pretty easy. Canadian, it's got to be Schitt's Creek.
Okay.
That show is just blew me away. And it's one of those weird ones. I know a lot. We've talked about it before. It took me, I think, three or four tries to get into it. But once I did, I never looked back. And I've probably watched the series three or four times since. Just love... similar to Letterkenny, like the inclusivity of the show, the jokes are so spot on. It feels very homegrown. And then you got the levies. So just too much. So I think that's easily, in my opinion, one of the best shows to come out of Canada in years, if not ever. And then on the all-time show, I think it's a very common one. I mean, yeah, it's The Office. Again, it's a comedy. I can watch The Office over and over and over and over. It's a comfort show for me. I actually was listening to a radio station not too long ago, and someone asked that question. If you were stuck only watching the same show for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Right.
And I think they all unanimously said The Office as well, because there's just so much to bite onto there. Like, there's so many great shows. Like, if I look at some other favorite shows, like Game of Thrones is up there. Mm-hmm. Breaking Bad is in there for sure. Obviously, Letterkenny. Like, there's lots of stuff that I just love. But I got to think of something that I can go back to on repeat and still find good old pleasure in. It's The Office. And the other thing I love is there's no... It's not an ongoing storyline. There's a couple things, but every episode sort of stands alone as well, and you can just jump in anywhere and just love it. So, yeah, that would be mine. Schitt's Creek and The Office.
Interesting. All right.
You look like you approve.
Yeah, I enjoy. I was like you. Schitt's Creek, it took me a couple of starts before I got into it. The first time I tried it, and I'm like, yeah, this is okay, but...
Right?
Something about it, yeah. But once I got into it, I got into it. Favorite Canadian show, though?
I feel like you're going to go deep cut here on
That isn't Letterkenny or Shoresy, right? So that's the important part. The favorite Canadian show that isn't Letterkenny or Shoresy. I don't know. There's a couple of, like, I love the here's something off, like, off script. The Mercer Report. Rick Mercer Report. And the Americans wouldn't have seen
this. Good one.
But it was a kind of a variety show. Like, he does like political and newsy jokes. It was kind of like a Canadian version of The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. But in between, he'd have these vignettes where he would do he would go on these like stunts, like these trips and meet people. And yeah. He was game for anything. Like he went in a helicopter and threw bombs at in the Rockies to cause avalanches. He went skinny dipping with Rob Ray, who's a Canadian politician. He went bungee jumping with Rick Hansen, who's a wheelchair paralyzed.
Paraplegic.
Yeah, paraplegic. He did everything. He was really funny and fearless and stuff. I really enjoyed watching that show. So there's something like off the beaten track. But in terms of like, like narrative shows or whatever, like dramas or comedy, like scripted shows, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. Probably Corner Gas. I think I knew
you were going.
Like, other than Letterkenny and Shoresy, I think Corner Gas is a lot of fun, and I could probably watch that over and over again. Favorite show of all time? You remind me. Breaking Bad was so good.
So good.
Was that ours?
Dexter was no, all time, like regardless of whether it's Canadian or not. So
Breaking Bad. Oh, it doesn't have to be Canadian.
The first one Canadian, second one is just all time.
All time. Oh.
Dan, you're gonna have to pay attention. Yeah,
I know, I wasn't. of all time.
Sons of Anarchy was great.
And I love all those, but those dramas, like, and that's what I think when I think of favorite show, I'm like, I have to be able to go back and revisit.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, I don't think I could watch Sons again.
The dramas are off.
I mean, I love Dexter, but I don't think I could go through that again. Barry was really good. I don't know. I'd have to. So I think it's because of the time I watched it and it hit me and I needed it. It was the show that I needed at the time.
Ted Lasso.
It came during, and by the way, we already mentioned how much we love The Bear, and there's probably in season two of The Bear, there's probably three episodes that rank among the best three episodes of television.
Totally agree.
Ever. Right.
Yeah.
So, but overall, given the time that it came out and what we all needed and what it offered and provided us, you can't beat Ted Lasso. Yeah. Ted Lasso was so good.
Stellar choice. Like that is, I know it took me a while to get into that one too, but once I did, I was so glad I did. And it wasn't what I expected at all, but it was definitely like I just felt good coming out of that show. I'm like, that's what you want in a good, like entertainment.
And it felt different for some reason because it was like not sarcastic and snarky and you know what I mean? It was like, wow, this is kind of a breath of fresh air. I haven't seen something like this in a long time. So Tanya, first favorite Canadian show that isn't Letterkenny or Shoresy, and then favorite all time show.
Okay, so you guys have really good picks. Schitt's Creek, I'm with Alan. It took me a couple of rounds. And I've never got into The Office.
No, we haven't watched The Office at all.
No, didn't get into that one. Corner Gas, it was excellent. I'm going to choose, though, Still Standing.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too.
It was a really, like, I don't know who the guy is.
Johnny Harris.
Thank you. Goes across Canada, and he goes to the small towns that are struggling because of challenges that the town has had to face. Usually it's situations where there was a boom at one time and a flood of activity and people and tourism and work. Mm-hmm. And then the town, everything just changed, whether it was the train that didn't go through anymore or a fire or whatever the reason. There was a diversity that they had to overcome, and they are still standing. And but he finds a fun way to make it comical. And
literally, because at the end of each episode, he does a stand-up comedy set about the time he spent in that town in front of the town's people. It's actually a really cool concept. And I'm going to say, I love that show, too, of course, because I stole that concept for Yes, We Are Open. So I love it so much. I'm actually doing
Stealer.
Without the comedy part at the end.
Without the Stealer. Yeah, maybe we should throw the comedy in there.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah, really. And it's an excellent way to look at Canada and mm-hmm. to see the small towns and to see all the different places. And there's a lot of places on his show that I've been like, I really want to go and see that. I really want to experience that. And it was a great show. I'm not sure whether it's still on or not, but
it's up for a Canadian Screen Award this year.
Oh, so is it?
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to
it says 2015 to present, like I'm on IMDb right now.
I'm gonna have to get back into it then.
All right, favorite all time.
But Rick Mercer, oh my god, the Mercer Report, that was the best. that would have been in my top list as well. Top all time, I thought we had to stay in Canada for that one too. So I was going to say Mr. Dress Up because sure. Come on, you can't get any more classic than that. Mm-hmm. But if we can go outside of our area, our country here, that is a really hard one. Ted Lasso is really good. I love the stories that really leave you feeling full. Like feeling happy and feeling optimistic. And all of those other shows, all the dramas, oh my God, like, yes, Dexter, it was phenomenal and had a great storyline.
But it's dark and depressing.
But it's dark as hell. And there were moments where it's just like, you couldn't go to bed. You couldn't go. I'm going to have to agree with you. I think it is Ted Lasso. Although I could probably watch the show again. Which what one? Are we on?
What, Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones.
You can watch that again?
I don't know. Well, now that I know the story, maybe it would be boring because you know what happens at
the end. Well, it's definitely not. I did it twice.
Did you, eh?
Same, because Al, you had already seen it, hadn't you? And then you went back and watched it.
I saw up until season like 3 or 4. And then, because it took too long between seasons, so I stopped.
Yeah. I also liked the doctor? What was his name? House. That's it. House.
Yeah, House is fun.
Mm-hmm. I really liked the medical stuff. Not so much after COVID because then I kind of got the panics from it. But I really enjoyed ER back when it was going. ER, oh my God. Sure.
Have you finished? With Jen, when we first started this podcast 3 years ago, you and Jen were starting to watch
Grey's Anatomy. I want to do that one next.
No, I don't.
I do not regret that binge. No, I'm saying. Okay. No, we haven't finished it. I think we got up to like season 17 or 18 or something. It's and still going. It's ridiculous. Oh, but it was right when the COVID hit, and then there was a season they released sort of on the mid, like towards the end of COVID, and it was very COVID-centric.
Yeah.
I don't know, the vibe of the show, everything.
Just, everyone's sick of COVID. No one wants to see anything.
Yeah, and it felt, and then they tried to pretend like COVID, it was weird, and we just lost interest at that point. So
I did the exact same thing with the, what was that other medical one that I was watching with the
Good Doctor.
Good Doctor.
Oh, the Good Doctor.
I loved that one so much. And they did the same thing. They went very COVID centric.
All right. So I thought we were going to have a hard time filling an hour. We're not going to have a hard time at all. Let's move on to our next caller. This one here is from our buddy Mike in New Jersey. Here we go.
Yeah. So I've been thinking about the DM group a lot lately. The people in there, we're different. You know, we're very different. There's people from many different countries. There's people of all ages, backgrounds, both educational background and also employment background. And yet, it seems to work. You know, the group has grown. It's evolved to where people are flying off on vacations to meet each other and going through, you know, various life events with each other, which is a true friend group. My question that I've been wrestling with is, why does it work? What is so special? What have we done? And why can't other people do it? Thanks.
That's a great question, Mike. I think we're just lucky. We got lucky that something, you know what it is? I think something about the show Letterkenny attracts the people who really enjoy it are generally good people and like-minded. And so when you want to build a community around it, then the people who join that community are probably the same. And joining us right now is Trace and Liz, the writing team of Tate and Webb. Hi guys. How's it going? You're both muted.
Yeah, going good.
Wow.
Going good.
Thanks for joining us. I mean, Mike's question.
My shirt.
Oh yeah, you guys have matching shirts. So the reason you guys are on after
just adorbs.
I know you're adorable. The reason we're having you on after Mike's question is because he mentioned, you know, how well everyone gets along in the Discord, and it's gotten to the point where people are meeting in person in real life because of the relationships being formed in the Discord, and you two are the most recent example of that.
Yeah, but yes. We don't get along.
No? Oh, okay.
I'm kidding.
I thought we were going to keep that our little secret. So I mean, that's actually the secret sauce to our writing is that we hate each other.
I see.
Pure confrontation, eh?
So for those who don't know, Liz, you're on the West Coast near Seattle. And Trace, you're in Tennessee. Correct?
Yeah, roughly.
And
Tennessee, Mississippi.
And you guys are our writing team. You guys are the brains behind all of our limericks and a lot of the cold opens. But recently, Trace, you went and visited Liz in person for the first time. You've never met her in person.
Never. Never. Not once.
No, sorry. What? You can't see never me shaking once. My head.
Why did you go to Seattle to meet Liz?
Originally we were just shooting the shit about the Letterkenny Presents show. Mm-hmm. And she was said, "Oh my God, there's a show coming to Seattle." So of course I'll look it up. And of course they're not coming to Memphis. And I was like, the closest one that was Nashville. And I was like, well, fuck, I don't want to go by myself to Nashville and all that. And Liz goes, "Well, why don't you come up here and come see it with me?" And I mean, at the time I was like, at first thought it was, that's crazy, man. Fly all the way to Seattle just to watch Letterkenny and all that. And she was like, "No, fuck, man, it'd be fun." And I was like, okay. So we hammered
out. Either way, you have to drive to Nashville. Yeah, you have to fly out.
That's the worst part is there's, I could either, if you fly from Memphis to Nashville, I'd have to stop in like Charlotte, North Carolina, or Las Vegas, or Minneapolis. Sorry, Chad. And it would have taken between 10 and 12 hours. Meet me at the airport. I got to go. 10 to 12 hour of travel time. Or I could drive 3.5 hours to Nashville, fly 4 hours to Seattle, and be done with it
directly. Yeah.
And so I drove to Nashville and I got on the plane and I got to the airport and it's promptly delayed. So it's 7 o'clock by the time the plane gets in the air. So it's, what was it? 10 o'clock, Liz?
When it was 10 o'clock before you landed. And I'm kind of like Miriam over here, you know, like I really want to be in bed, even on a Friday. I kind of want to be in bed by nine.
Oh, wow.
I at least want to be in my jammies and not talking to anybody by nine. Like, I don't want to be
much
social.
Less playing host to somebody from another state.
Right. Yeah. Right. So,
that you've never met before.
So, right.
Well, yeah.
So and in it, person, it's, I mean, the airport's not far. It was about 30 minutes that time of night. It took me an hour though to get home yesterday because of traffic. So his plane left five something. So I dropped you off at like three or something like that. And then on the way home, it was like all traffic. So yeah. that was
quite but good. So I get there, it's 10 o'clock. My brain thinks it's 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And by the time we get all the way back to Edmonds where Liz is, it's probably 11 o'clock there. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm just, I've been driving and flying all day. Well, driving myself.
Yeah.
Somebody else flew. And
I hope so. You know,
and I just like, I just wanted to crash.
Tired. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I get there and I'm not saying Liz was in her jammies when she picked me up, but she was in her comfy clothes when she picked me up. And Daisy was there. And
oh, that's nice.
I got to meet her and she's the sweetest thing in the world. Mm. And my whole take for the length of time was like, I just don't want to go out for 2 days to Seattle. I want to see Seattle. You know, I want to see this whole part of the country that I ain't seen before. And so I went and we had a blast. She showed her town to me and I don't know if y'all know, but Liz really loves the Pacific Northwest and Seattle. And if you visit her, she'll make you love it too.
Awesome. Yeah, it looks like you guys made the most out of your time, and Trace, it sounds like you really enjoyed it.
Oh God, yes, very much so. It's an amazing, amazing place.
My only regret is when Joey was here, we spent about 4 hours at Pike Place. I didn't realize Pike Place Market closed at 5, and we got there shortly before 5, so we did that like heading to the Letterkenny Presents because that was just a little south of downtown. Pike Place is more downtown. So I was like, well, let's stop here and then we'll have dinner and then go there. But because of the timing and then everything was closing up and he still just thinks everything is so cool. This is so cool.
Yeah.
This is so cool. I'm like, yeah, that's where they throw the fish over there. And that's normally, this is what this would look like. And this is normally and it's just, you know, busy, but we hit a lot of the stuff that like Joey saw that he really enjoyed because I kind of figure, I mean, they're both boys and stuff. But.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Well, and so, yeah, you mentioned Joey. Joey visited you too, like what, a month ago, something like that, like en route to Hawaii.
It wasn't ago.
That. Yeah. So you're like Michelle is for Sudbury, but you are for Seattle. Anyone goes to Seattle?
Sort of. Joey was here to visit another friend that they went to college with.
Right.
Or I think his wife went to college with. And so she was already out here. So they were kind of already here. So I was really just meeting up with them. I didn't have to be a tour guide to them.
Okay.
It was more of a tour guide to Trace. But then we went to Northwest Trek, which I haven't done since Ella was little. And you see like real live animals and like wildcats. And what else do we see? Big birds.
All the bears.
Not big birds.
All the bears.
Oh yeah, bald eagles and owls.
Bald eagles. Yeah, there was a bald eagle that was shot.
Wow, yeah, that was sad.
Had him there as like a rescue from New York. Hmm. Yeah, it was really sad. But anyways, so it was fun.
Got to see Mount Rainier. You know, it's gorgeous. It looks like this, you know, like a mountain should look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're eventually going to have a Letterkenny Presents wrap up. Episode. We'll have everyone on who's been to Letterkenny Presents because there's a lot.
We gotta write a rap for that.
Yeah, the wrap up, not a rap. But just quickly.
But yes, you have to write a rap for
that too. But quickly, why don't you give us a quick like a review of Letterkenny Presents? Liz, you first.
Well, I will first give you my opinion that I can't say that I was the biggest Mark Forward fan. Not that I was an anti fan. Not that I didn't like him. He just was kind of null to me, you know.
Okay.
And I know that Cassie's obsessed with him and Jeff really enjoys him. And I knew he was funny on the show and he definitely played coach well. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, though. Live, this man I mean, I didn't stop laughing. So, okay, first,
you just saved yourself because Cassie was about to cry.
Well, what you're saying is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
His videos, right, and well, I'll let you continue, his videos and stuff do him no justice. In person, it's an entirely different experience.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. Trace is like, should we watch like some of his stand up, you know, like get in the mood kind of thing for the show? And so I was like, okay, yeah, let's do that. And I was like, okay, this is funny. And like, especially in the beginning of the pandemic, all I watched was stand up, just whoever. And I would just let it run while I was working from home on YouTube. And I really love stand up. And, you know, Trace and I talked about it, like, I love Jim Gaffigan. Like, yeah, he, to me, is just one of the fun, like, I could watch him all day, like all his jokes all day long. And so it was Jeff McHenry and then Allie Pierce. Mm-hmm. And she gave us some news. Are we allowed to tell her news?
Yeah, she announced it on Instagram.
Yeah, she announced it on Instagram. She's
she did. Okay.
She's so engaged. She got engaged. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah.
So that like was the night before.
Yeah. In LA, I believe.
LA.
Yeah. LA. And not Ella, LA. Sorry. Ella's over there. And anyway, so yeah, they were both on and it was funny and I laughed. But he was on for quite a long time. I don't even know.
Yeah, he's the headliner. So, yeah, he gets over an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I stopped laughing.
Did he do Xavier McCutcheon's?
Yeah. Oh God. Yes.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
That's an experience in itself.
Well, no, the whole thing about it. Yeah. Go ahead, Liz. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Like just the whole thing, like, you know, and I knew he played instruments and so he busted out the guitar, but then the whole like thing. And then there was a woman in the back, like he brought up the bear, right? Like the bear naming thing.
Yeah.
And there, a woman in the back. And I said this to Cassie, like, I don't know if she was a plant, but she literally said, bears can smell when women are menstruating. And he goes, what? She says, bears can smell when women are menstruating. And then he went on and on about that, of course. I mean, like, I don't know what the point of that was. So it was really random. And then it brought on a whole nother 10 minutes of him, you know, whatever. And yeah, like in the whole like robot in the future thing. And like, oh my God. And just how well he plays off the audience. What was it that the guy said when he's like, as a grown man, you felt like you had to say that three times. Cause he kept going, what? To this guy. Goes, what?
He goes, quit. I can't remember exactly what it was, but some part where he was going about monkeys or something. And he goes, and some guy yells, quit fucking monkeys. And Mark goes, I'm sorry, what? And he goes, quit fucking monkeys. Hang on, I didn't hear you. One more time. He goes, quit fucking monkeys. And Mark goes, as a grown man, you just said that three times. How you feeling?
Felt the need to say that three times? Yeah. Like, I mean, the way he plays off the audience, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it was perfection. Like, you know, I've seen stand-up, but this was it, I think Jeff in our Discord said, you know, the cross between, like, his stand-up and performance art is just, it's perfect.
Yeah.
And that is exactly how you would put it. Like, I am now 100% with you, Cassie. Like, I mean, I don't think I'm in love with him. You can still be the president and Barb Jr., but I'm not like, yeah, if he ever comes back, I'm definitely going.
It's like part performance art, part stand-up, part freeform jazz. I mean, it's,
yeah,
you can tell, I mean,
No one shows the same.
I mean, yeah, there are points in the show, you know, that are the setups and the bits, but you can tell half the crap coming out of his mouth is just made up and it's just hilarious.
He's in the zone.
He
just wings it. It's like, it feels like he's just making it up the whole thing as he goes along. And if you remember even our interview with him, I'm pretty sure it was when we were talking, he talked about his love with playing off the audience, where if he sees like someone, like a group giggling, and that's when he's like, oh, I'm going to carry this out longer. Like, he just wants to play into it. So those are the people he loves the most, those gigglers in the audience. Cause he's like, let's see how long I can keep them laughing.
And y'all will appreciate this towards the end. I'm fairly certain she knew it was coming because she was in the VIP and I don't know if Mark gave her a tip and all that. And she goes, you know, what do you do for a living? She goes, I work in a grocery store. And he was like, oh, okay. Were you like a checkout? No, I work in produce. And he goes on just on a tear about produce, you know, and it's like, I know for a fact this dude is making all this up as we go.
Right.
Yeah, we're wearing our produce stand stuff. And
we were repping.
Well, I saw you took me to the show, Trey, so I appreciate that. I'd never been to Seattle.
Yeah. Damn right, baby. Yeah.
So Trey, it sounds like Liz gives it a 10 out of 10. Trace, what about your quick review?
Oh, God, 10 out of 10. Absolutely 10 out of 10. I mean, it was like Liz was saying. I watched the videos, and I'm not saying it died on the vine or anything, but he doesn't have a tight 15, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
You know, you can't just pick out 5 minutes of a Mark Forward thing and expect it to do justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because from start to finish, it's like, that dude just took us on a ride, man.
Yeah. And it doesn't even feel like he ever finishes a joke either. Like, it's all over the place, and I love
right.
it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Sorry, we got front row.
Amazing.
Nice.
And I love those shirts. I feel like they didn't have those when they were in Burlington, but I could be wrong. Like, I like the color.
They might not have because.
Yeah,
we got one for Cassie because she said she didn't get a chance to get one.
Yeah,
they didn't have them.
I don't think so.
Because it has all the dates on the back.
Yeah,
that looks nice. So we didn't have them.
Sorry.
All right.
Well,
guys, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your experience.
I love that story.
Yeah.
I love you guys getting together. That's just is amazing. Love it.
Oh, and tonight's brilliant limerick.
Yes. Matt.
That was the first limerick we ever created in the same place.
And I fucking blew it. I'm sorry, guys.
Do you know what? Ferda. Say Ferda.
Ferda. There you go.
It's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks.
I didn't know you lost the juice.
Matt's full of excuses. Anyway, thank you, guys.
I was so tied up on beanbags.
team of Tate and Webb, thank you guys so much for joining us.
Because
I know, Trace, you're jet-lagged. So I'm going to let you guys go. Next up, we have a question here from our buddy Tobias from Missouri. He wants to know, how has TPS changed or impacted each host? Has the advent of the DGens changed your view of the States and Americans? So, Matt, I think you talked about this before.
I have talked about that. Yeah. And so there was a pretty loaded question. There's a couple things there, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so how is it just specific about how it affects Americans, or was the first half of that question?
How's the TPS changed or impacted each host? So the, mm-hmm. the podcast, and then the advent of the DGens, has it changed your view of the US and Americans?
Yeah. So I'll touch the first part. How is this podcast? It's changed my life for the best. I think it's renewed my faith in people in general. I've never really been a part of a community, aside from like, you know, day to day family, friends, like that kind of stuff. But, it's been very overwhelming in the best kind of way. And it's really has me been able to appreciate everyone in every single way. Like, it's just, I love the breadth of people that have come across our show that we've had the privilege of interacting with, whether it's on the podcast, the after shows, in person. You just never know what this show can bring. And it's done a lot. And in terms of my opinion of Americans, yes, I have touched on this. You know, I think most Americans out there aren't very oblivious to the fact that the reputation worldwide isn't always positive. I've definitely had some negative experiences in the States myself, crossing people. But I can say without a shadow of a doubt that every single person from the States that I've met through this show has been nothing but absolutely amazing. So clearly I've run into the bad eggs and missed out on the amazing beauty of people that do live down there. And I'm sorry you have to endure some of the bullshit around you. There's lots of space up here in Canada. We'd love to have you. But yeah, I would say it definitely has renewed my trust and love for the States through the people I've met on this show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how has it changed me? This is going to sound... it saved me. Like, I was on the brink of I had the worst anxiety and panic attacks. And when the pandemic hit, everything closed and I had genuine fear. I remember going to the grocery store and my lip quivering and my hand shaking. And it was not, I was trying to control it and I couldn't control it anymore. The fear was more than I could handle. And I had to, turn off everything external. So I wasn't listening to anything anymore just because I was so overwhelmed with what was happening. And so scared of all the news. This show, doing this, having this one day a week where we weren't having anything to do with the pandemic. We were watching this ridiculous show that I didn't like at the beginning, but then grew to enjoy and look forward to seeing the growth of the actors and the show. Anyways, no, it means the world to me that we had this outlet and we had each other and we had a moment where none of that had to be looked at and we just had fun. So without it, it would have been, I can't even imagine what it would have looked like actually, what life would have been for me, without this and the community. For what my view is on the States, I've never met a group of people so amazing. And the power, I've said it before, the power of yes. Mm-hmm. I have never seen people put the power of yes into action as much as I have with our friends in the States. And just the community is just the most, it's the most amazing community. And, you know, all the anxiety and fear and is like, don't trust anyone. And here is this group of people that don't know each other from any like from a year ago or 3 years ago now, I guess, didn't know each other at all to going on vacation with each other and meeting up in person and flying just like Trace and Liz. It puts a smile on my face and it's just, it warms my heart that there's good in the world, right?
Trace and Liz and Joey and who everyone else, Casey, who's met up with Mike in mm-hmm. New Jersey, and everyone else who, you know, one thing I'll say about Americans, half car will travel. They love their road trips. Jeff, talking to you, which is great. I mean, we need to do more of that up here for sure. I feel like here, because things are so much further away from each other, it literally takes 24 hours to drive out of our province going west. So it makes it harder for those kinds of trips up here.
And then going east, you have Quebec. Yeah. So
anyway,
we're here.
I mean, what has it done? It's well documented how this helped through the pandemic. But it's also, for me personally, it's become not only my other hobby other than music, it's also become my new career. Mm-hmm. You know, I started being a professional podcaster shortly after starting this podcast. And it's That's taken amazing, me to different mm-hmm. heights with that. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a huge...
It changed your career.
Yeah, it changed my career, literally. And as far as my, you know, impression of Americans, I mean, I have family down there. I loved visiting them. You know, we loved New York. We loved the states we've been to, we've visited, we love. So I didn't really have any... look, every place has good and bad eggs. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware of that. So it's not surprising, you know, that there's all these amazing people part of our Discord who are from the US. I just, and to Mike's point in his message to us, it's amazing. And we're so fortunate that we, you know, there's 100+ people in our Discord and they all seem like quality people. So we've mm-hmm. lucked out. Literally, I have not had to kick anyone out. So that's a testament to the community that this show has brought together and to all of you who are in the Discord. So thank you. Now for the next message, here's a little, well, Jeff's got another message for us. Here we go.
Hey guys, Jeff from Maine again. If you could meet one person, dead or alive, from the entertainment industry, who would it be and why?
One person, dead or alive, from entertainment, Matt.
Oh, can you come back to me?
Okay. I'll start with Tanya then. Dead or alive, one person from the entertainment industry. I know you're not big on like celebrities and stuff, but
I got it.
I have always had him on my list. Love the man from early days, Robin Williams.
Mm. Oh, I wasn't even,
he good call. Is just always been, he's always had a special spot in my heart. And that would be a dream come true to have dinner with him.
Good call. Matt.
Yeah. It came to me almost immediately after I sent it away. So sorry for that. Thanks. That's all right. Thanks. Tanya, you were ready. You're almost never ready when.
Oh, why? Thank you. No, I know it's true.
Great job.
It's always been there. Yeah.
And I'm in the same range as you're talking there with Robin Williams, because great call out. It's the man, the legend, John Candy.
Oh, I was going to guess it. Yeah. I thought it was John Candy.
It has to be John Candy. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as it came to my head, I'm like, there's no other person. That guy brought me so much happiness when I was young. And I remember, like, to me, like, when he died, it was up there with, like, when Gord Downie died. Like, it hit me so hard. I'm like, why? Like, why? Why John Candy? I was so devastated by it. Like, Cool Runnings to this day is still one of my favorite movies. Mm-hmm. I can watch that and recite it word for word. Uncle Buck, Great Outdoors. Like, you just put him anyway. Even his part in Home Alone. Like, that man was just so infectious in the best possible way. To just be able to spend an hour, 5 minutes with this guy, just to talk to him and shake his hand, and say hello. It's John Candy through and through.
Great call. And I could have guessed it. I would have guessed it.
I saw it on your face. You knew it.
mine will have to be, and you mentioned him, Gord Downie. I mean, in terms of, I'm a musician.
Yeah.
Many people, like when my band performs Tragically Hip songs, people tell me I sound a lot like him. And it's one of the regrets that I have. I've never seen the Tragically Hip live, and that's sacrilege considering they played here so much.
Yeah.
It became one of those things where, like, there'll be another time. There'll be another time. I'll get to see them one day. And then I couldn't. And it's too bad because, I mean, they're Canada's band. When he died, that final, or one of my memories, you know, greatest memories is that final concert he played in Kingston. My band was actually up in Barrie watching with the entire bar. The bar was rammed. We were all watching that last show in Kingston. Not a dry eye in the house when that show ended. And we were like panicking. Do we play our hip stuff? Do we not play it? Like, what do we do here? and the night was just cathartic. It was it was such an amazing night. So I would probably say, I wouldn't mind, you know, having a beer or two with Gord Downie. Joining us here, speaking of, now I'm not saying that this person he met is the person he would answer the question with, but our buddy Jeff just joined us. And the reason you're joining us, Jeff, is because you have an interesting story of somebody who walked into your store in Maine, of all places. Why don't you tell us about that?
More than interesting. I mean, I've met this guy now, so my choice would be Leslie Nielsen. That's my guy.
Okay, all right.
I love it.
No, I just normal day at work last week, and
can you mention where you work?
Canada. I work at the Bangor Mall, the Hot Topic up here. Been there, just hit 22 years there, beginning of the month. So, yay, go me. But yeah, I'm sitting there at work. It was so weird that earlier in the day in our little Discord chat, I had posted that it was the anniversary of Street Sense, the debut of Street Sense. And I made a little joke about Jonathan Torrens. You know, it's his first show and he was just a little dick back then. And I'm sitting there at work about 3 hours later and I'm helping a lady with the body jewelry. And this guy walks by me. And I only saw him from the side and then from the back. And I'm like, geez, that looks like Jonathan Torrens. Like the blonde hair. Like that was the giveaway.
Remnino.
Yeah. And so I went back to, went back to helping this lady, and I kind of kept an eye out on this guy, and I'm like, Jesus, that looks like Jonathan Torrance. And I called my assistant over. I'm like, hey, can you finish helping this lady? I had to check this out. And I went over and very nicely, and I was like, hey, excuse me, I don't mean to bother you, but are you Jonathan Torrance? And he goes, yes, I am. And like, that was about as close as I've come to having a heart attack. And I had the vapors, people. I had the vapors.
Wow.
He sat there and he talked to me for, it was probably 15, 20 minutes. Wow. While his wife and his two daughters, beautiful family, by the way, mm-hmm. Wife and two daughters were shopping around. And I usually don't get terribly starstruck. And I'd mentioned in our Discord, I've met quite a few people through my work. Mm-hmm. And even in my store, you know, we've had people in, we've had, you know, Alice Cooper has been in my store, and Jeff Hardy and Dana White, and just a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Because there's not much else to do in Bangor, Maine. If you're like playing a show or something like that there, right, you come to the mall. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time I can honestly say that I was about as starstruck as I get.
That's crazy.
And I sat there and I chatted with him for a bit. And then we were talking about, he was in town because his family loves Target. Mm-hmm. And there's no Targets in Canada, and Bangor, Maine, they live in Nova Scotia, and Bangor, Maine has the closest Target to them.
Right.
Oh my God. So, that's amazing.
Yep. So they'd come down shopping, and I started thinking, my buddy Jero reminded me of this back on Sunday. I was chatting with him and he said, hasn't he been in the mall before? And he has. I never realized that because somebody had told me that there was a trailer park boy in the mall, and this was years ago before COVID. Oh,
okay.
And I'm thinking Trailer Park Boy, and I'm thinking, you know, one of the three main Trailer Park Boys. Yeah. I'm not thinking J-Rock.
Right.
So anyway, he's super nice. Like, guys, anytime you meet a celebrity, you just hope that they are as nice a person mm-hmm. as you think they are. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say he was just very, very cordial, very polite. I don't know how we got on the subject. I was wearing my Letterkenny shirt. I'm always wearing a Letterkenny shirt. Yeah. But you know,
that's your uniform, Jeff.
Good thing. Can you imagine the one day that you're not wearing a Letterkenny shirt and Noah God, Dick walks in?
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been fucking embarrassing. But no, he was like, oh, so you must be a super fan. And I was like, well, you know, just a little bit. And I, you know, told him about our trip last June and, you know, meeting Trevor Risk in Montreal and having dinner and then going to Sudbury. Mm-hmm. And he's, oh, did you go to the farm? I'm like, of course we went to the farm. and then I told him about going to Toronto. Mm-hmm. And then I told him about you guys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, I met the folks from the Produce Stand podcast. And, you know, I said that Al and his wife were courteous and took us around the city afterwards and, told them that, you know, you love your city. And, it was just so much fun that we went back in September and told him, you know, I'm obsessed with Mark Forward. And he said, oh, really? So Mark and I are working on a project. And after they finished the stand-up tour, and he's like, so do you know the band Air Supply? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know Air Supply. And he said, so picture those guys, but today. And that's the idea like behind their project. So I'm like, you know, they can make that funny. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. So Matt, remember when we were talking about
paying attention,
what could be the next Letterkenny spinoff or the next project that Kiesel might work on. And you said something music related would be, cause that's his other love other than hockey is music. Can you imagine that maybe this is like Kiesel's next project with
like, I got shivers when you said right. that. Cause I'm like, I remember that conversation. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway. It'd be so much fun. Mm-hmm. But no, and he had said, we were talking about the Produce Stand podcast and he said, yeah, they asked me to do that, but I didn't feel like
yeah.
and it was word for word what you had said, Al.
I know
it was literally word for word. He said, I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't feel right coming onto a show or to a podcast that I really don't have, mm-hmm. you know, that he's more of a tertiary subject in.
Yeah.
But I kind of put him at ease a little bit. I'm like, you know, Mark was a little apprehensive about coming on at first. I think he thought that, you know, these were a bunch of Yahoos out of the state somewhere. But I'm like, no, they're all based in Canada. And Mark went on and he had a great time. And Jonathan said, yeah, I talked to him about it a little bit and he had rave reviews. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, you know what? I'll do the podcast sometime. And I'm like, yes. And then I went on and started.
We appreciate about you.
Thank
bud.
You, bud.
Well, I started telling don't get your appreciations out there yet, because I feel like this might have ruined it a little bit.
Uh-oh, what'd you do?
Well, no, I was telling him about, you know, the Ag Hall socials. And then I was also telling him about how, you know, it's been a great community that we put together. And then after recording a podcast Thursday nights, you know, we all usually hang out in a Zoom party. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how many people are there? And I'm like, oh, it depends on the night. You know, sometimes there's only like, you know, half a dozen or 8-10 of us. Some nights there's like 15 or 16. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, I'm sitting there going, Jesus, I probably shouldn't have told him that, because I'm wondering if now he thinks, if he goes on to the show, that he's going to have 20 people on the screen to contend with. Oh, and I was like kicking myself afterwards, but it is what it is.
No, I think if he listens to the Mark Ford interview or the Jared Kiso interview, he'll know what to expect. But man, thanks for repping the pod. Yeah.
You guys in the community were my first thought. Like as soon as I got done, as soon as he walked out of the store, like I was on our Discord and I typed, holy fuck.
I saw that. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah. That's amazing.
It was great. One of, you know, top three experiences I've ever had at work. So
I'm so happy you had that moment, man. When I saw that photo of you two, it made my entire day. I'm like, and of all people, I'm like, I'm so glad that happened to Jeff. Cause you are the definition of a super fan. And I knew that would have just made your whole year right there.
That's what I appreciate about you guys. Like I've been wearing a smile just about ever since. One of my employees came into work later that day and the next day. And they were like, I could tell that something good happened to you because you're just so freaking happy today. And I'm like,
they probably thought you got laid or something. It's like, oh, better.
better. I got Jonathan.
Torrance. I got to hang out with a dick. All right, man. Thank you so much for coming on tonight and telling your story.
Hey,
and also for all the messages, we're going to hear your voice one more time tonight. So I appreciate the DMs you sent.
Hey, glad I can contribute. I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks a lot. Bud. That's our buddy Jeff from Maine. Up next, so we have a message from our friend YYZ Gord, who's actually on his way, of course he is, to Paris for the weekend. But before he left for Paris, he dropped us this line.
Hey folks, YYZ Gord here. If any luck, I should be on my way to Paris while you're recording and won't be able to listen live, but did want to get my question out there to the crew. Really enjoyed last week's episode, hearing the Takeover crew's perspective on their favorite Letterkenny episode. Curious to hear what you all think is your favorite episode and a little context of why and how it got there. Hope you have a great show and look forward to hearing it when I return.
All right. Well, Tan, you probably haven't heard last week's Takeover.
I have not had the opportunity. But
Matt, have you had a chance to listen to it?
I did, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
And I listened to it too. Like the night I posted it, I was in my hotel room still in Calgary. And I don't have to get up too early tomorrow. So let me listen to it. And it was great. They did a great job. I loved the opening, the cold open. Great script. And joining us right now are 3/4 of that Takeover crew. We have
three fifths.
So we have the mastermind, Chad, Joey, and Cassie. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Hey, hello.
Welcome back.
So great job last week. You did a great, and I knew you would. I knew you would. Chad, you're a pro.
It was terrible. I hate it.
Oh, you were great.
Don't lie, Chad.
It was terrible. It was great.
So
it was a fun time.
Yeah, it sounds like you guys had a good time and you delivered some Letterkenny content, which is exactly what we need from you guys. So thank you so much. Chad, so
yes,
I'm going to start with you because you kind of spearheaded this whole thing. Like last week, we were more than ready to take the week off because Tanya had a ailing kid and Matt and Victor are useless when it comes to doing any of this stuff. So like, we'll take the week off. But you said, no, sir, I am not going to take the week off. I'm going to take over.
Yes. I said that in the after party when you said, oh, yeah, we're probably going to take the week off. I'm going to be gone. And, you know, and everybody else is not going to do anything. And I was like, oh, Cassie, we should do a thing. And then as a joke, I said, we should do a thing. And then somehow it snowballed into Friday of doing a thing. And then I realized I didn't actually have Elle's permission to do the thing. So
yes.
Should probably get that first on. But yeah.
Yeah, you did. And I said, of course. Yes, please do. I gave you the keys to the soundboard.
I don't know why you did.
Well, I didn't give you the keys. Casey gave you the keys because I forgot the username and password to the soundboard.
He's lost his soundboard privileges, by the way.
Oh, yes. We'll talk about that in a second. But anyway, great job.
No worse than me, though. So
great job. Can you think of some of the questions you guys asked during that takeover that maybe Matt and Tanya can answer?
Yeah, let me open up the Google Doc.
Okay, well, while you do that, Joey, thanks, bud, for filling in too. How was your experience with that?
Yeah, I didn't watch that episode that Chad was talking about the week prior, and I wasn't there at the after party. So on Monday, I think it was, my Discord's blowing up, and they're coming up with all these ideas.
I think it was Friday. Fridays? Yeah, where we were kind of like, oh, who should we have on the podcast if we take over?
Okay, regardless, we had six days to plan this thing, and my Discord's blowing up, and they're tagging me, Joey, get on, Joey. I'm like, what? But they're naming off all these things. Like, these all sound fantastic. And it went really well. I was actually, not going to lie, Chad, I was impressed with NCAST. I was impressed with all four of us, and then we hosted a guest pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, I think you did great.
Have Sykes on.
You did great.
Sykes was great.
The schedule worked out.
Sykes was awesome.
Yeah. Quick question for you, Joey. How's your wife's foot?
Still swollen.
Still.
We'll review the MRI tomorrow.
MRI?
She's still in a walking boot. I don't think it's a sea urchin thing at this point.
Oh, no.
I don't know, she kicked, flailed, tried to overcompensate walking or something and damaged it more. She's still not doing too hot on the foot.
Oh, dear. Well, hopefully she... Yeah, hopefully it's better. I do want to ask one question on that same topic, though. I know it's a little off what this is, but I saw you commented when you saw the Letterkenny Presents, and I know we're going to do coverage later, and they saw the boot, and she said she kicked a sea urchin. How did that go down?
I wasn't fully aware of it. I think I was, if you see the photo, it went Jeff, me, Mark, Krista, and then Allie. Mm-hmm. So I think I was kind of like chatting with Jeff a bit, so I didn't fully hear it, but like just a little bit. But I'm really glad the guy taking the photos caught their reaction, because they both were just like a little flabbergasted.
Yeah,
that's not something you hear every day.
No, and Mark,
especially in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're about as far away from the sea as
of the mountains.
Yeah, that's what we were expecting too. Coming back from Hawaii, going to ER, we're like, is anybody going to know what to do?
Right. Yeah.
Mark's reaction in that reminded me of the prostate episode when Tannis talks about a cervix. He's like, a cervix?
Yeah. Jeff's got that kind of. Or Mark had that same
That I got out of that.
Awesome.
But Allie was just like so concerned for Krista. She's like, what? What is going on? How are you here?
I think she's more like, how can I avoid this happening to me?
Yeah.
Cassie, how much fun did you have last week?
It was a lot of fun. First of all, I'm so deeply honored that Chad called me up to be his takeover at, what was the phrase you used? Partner in crime?
Yeah, partner in crime.
Yeah, that was a huge compliment. And, he was amazing. It all went together so smoothly, and I have so much respect for everything you guys do, everything the, you know, main takeover team does. It was awesome working with Chad and Joey and Eliza, and Sykes was such a great guest. Like, it was so much fun. And I'm so sorry, Chad. I know I stressed you the hell out with every possible question and scenario.
It's fine. It was awesome to have both Sykes and Eliza on too. It's been a while.
It was so nice to hear Eliza's voice too.
Yeah, and Eliza being on for like, it's been a couple years now, and it was nice to have her on. And then Sykes was great. Mm-hmm. They were awesome. Mm-hmm. So,
but, can we also say that Chad does not get to use the soundboard anymore? That was the single most frustrating and hilarious moment simultaneously in my life.
When you start picking on my favorite episode, I'm going to start coming.
I was respectful, dude.
Phrasing.
We got to give props to Trace and Liz as well for helping write and kind of structure a bit of a script.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hell yeah. We'd be lost with it.
That was fantastic and an awesome contribution, too. She was able to help out despite everything else going on.
The cold open was solid. Okay, Chad, pick one of your questions from that episode to ask Matt and Tanya, because then we got to move on.
All right. Which episode is your favorite and why? So that's like the opening question was.
Matt, you first. Or do you want, why don't I start since... I mean, mine hasn't.
Why don't you start it? Why don't you start, Al?
Because you started the last time, and Tanya started.
I know. I'm saying, why don't you? You're making this complicated.
Mine hasn't changed. It's still relationships. It's still the best written episode with the greatest cold open. Attention's paid. Everything about that episode is perfect, and I still think is the best episode. There's been a lot of really great contenders since then. Prostate being one of them. Sleepover. Fuck you, Victor. I mean, there's been a lot of really great ones, but I always have to go back to relationships. It's still my all time favorite. Matt.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've gone through the series as a whole, but the ones that obviously Lays Hicks was always one that stood out to me. Mm-hmm. The banter with the French guys, Lays Hicks, not freaks. You fucking idiots.
Matt's right on this.
So
one.
Irritating. Anyways. That one always stood out. But like when I think back to the other ones that stand out in my mind, Dick Slip Out is for sure the first time. I think that's the first time we saw Noah and Anita. And when they came on the screen talking about Torrens, oh my God, just such standout characters in the show. And then you'd mentioned it, Prostate. Mm-hmm. Prostate was in the later seasons, hands down, the top episode.
Absolutely.
End to end, had some of the most like awe-dropping moments from Tannis explaining all that, their facial expressions, Glenn, just the subject matter in general, taking that on and making an educational episode in such an amazing way. It just... absolute brilliance. So those would be three. I don't really have a top one, but I just love them all for different reasons.
Well, you have to have one, Matt. So these are the rules. These are the rules that I established.
Cheers, Matt.
That was last week, Chad. No. Now you're in my house now.
I took over.
With his colorful caterpillar.
Technically,
the Astapillar.
Yeah, the Astapillar.
Don't let me sick her on you.
Fuck you, Matt.
I have to agree with Matt. Your picks are like absolutely my picks too. Any episode with the dicks, it just
distracting
is so funny. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculously funny. Love those episodes, but I would have to say the prostate exam, like that. Tannis is in there. Glenn is hilarious.
Glenn.
All the guys.
Speculum.
That's probably the episode that I've played the most to other people.
Yeah, true.
To say you've got to watch this. Like this is the episode that you've got to watch, and I've played it repeatedly to others. So I would have to say it's that one.
Yeah, a lot of people were saying like, "Oh, Letterkenny ended the right time because the later seasons were weaker." I don't know that that season with Prostate was Sleepover.
That's season 10.
That's season 10 was a strong season. Probably a top.
Yeah. I stand by like that. There was like a center period. I think it was like episodes 6, 7, 8. Mm. I think where I think they lost their groove for a bit there. And then 9 was okay. But when you hit 10, it picked right back up. And then I was happy till the end.
Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Thank you so much again. Do you have any final words before I let you go, Chad?
It's a very hard one job, but it's still one job. So.
Oh, you're back to that now, are you? Because I feel like I read somewhere
I don't know.
I'll never do that again. I'll never do that again.
I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. No idea. I have no idea what you're talking about.
You were on another podcast tonight. How'd that go?
It went great. So it just ended.
Yeah, you're becoming quite the podcast slugger.
Apparently.
Yeah.
What was the topic?
Star Wars.
So. Big surprise. Shocking.
Not Dune?
Anyway, man, you did a great job. And anytime the takeoverettes want to do it again, feel free.
No, not anytime soon. No. Not anytime
soon. Oh, because it's more than one job, is it? Joey?
It was too stressful.
Well, I was not stressed at all. I thought it went well.
Joey's sounding like my co-host. Yeah, that was easy. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Isn't it such a breeze? Everything. Like, podcasting is so easy.
You
man.
Just go on.
You just go really on.
You didn't have to figure out how to record everything and then get the soundboard to work and then go, shit, I don't have a thing. I don't have Zoom.
You're right. I don't have to do any of that. It's easy.
He just has to come on and be
all getting planned 6 days before it was going to happen. I had some doubts. Mm-hmm.
Well, but thanks a lot.
Pulled it out of a hat and it worked great.
Yeah, you did a great job. Cassie?
Honestly, I'm going to trump Chad here and say anytime you want the takeoverettes, blow the whistle, we'll be there. We can always like trade around who gets the game stick, who has to actually be the kind of host person. Mm. But it definitely gave me a new appreciation for everything that you guys do. And I'd be a bad partner in crime if I didn't thank Chad again for everything he did for us and basically getting it together and making it happen. It was amazing. And we wouldn't be there without him. So thank you, Chad.
Cool. Thank you. My ego needed this.
There you go, buddy. Thanks a lot, guys, for joining us tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thank you, Chad.
Glad you're back.
Fuck you, Matt. Right,
see ya. That was Chad, Joey, and Cassie, the takeoverettes. We were just missing Sykes there and Eliza, which, yeah, it's too bad she couldn't join us, but it was really nice.
I can't wait to hear it now.
Yeah, yeah. She was, it was nice to hear her voice. Yeah. All right. We got another question or message here from guess who? Jeff.
Hey, guys. It's Jeff from Maine again. This one's deep. So hold on. Your plane crashes in the wilderness. Only you and three characters from the universe survive. You need to choose one person to be the hunter-gatherer, one person to be the builder and protector, and one person to be your lover and confidant. And no, all three can't be Bonnie McMurray. Who are you choosing?
Oh, shit.
All right. One person.
Can we put some back? Can we put some music on for a minute while we think this one?
Oh, I need to. Oh, yeah, I can do that. 1 second.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put some here. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Yeah, here you go. So, some match right, game music for you. There you go. See,
there was a hunter-gatherer,
lover,
or a
no, builder. Not or.
No, you need to pick a hunter-gatherer. Then you need to pick a builder or protector, and then you need to pick a lover. So three people from the universe: a hunter-gatherer, a builder, protector, or a lover, or not or a lover and a lover. Didn't think we were going to be playing match game tonight, too. See, this episode's got a little bit of everything in it.
This has been a lot of fun. We should do more of these. I like this.
Potpourri, honey. Potpourri.
I'm torn on the 2-3 here.
You got it? All right. There's a lot of silence here. I guess I got to vamp while you guys write down your answers. Thank you to everyone who's joined us tonight. Tate and Webb, Liz and Trace, and Jeff, and obviously Chad and Cassie and Joey. It's been fun. Like I didn't have anything planned tonight. So we're going to fill. This is a full length episode and we're still not done because I still have another question and some news. But let's start with you, Matt. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
Go for it.
So I'm a little torn because I guess one could go wrong if I screw it up. But I'll start with the protector builder. To me, is Wayne. He's got good ethic. Mm-hmm. Good ethic, obviously. Toughest guy in Letterkenny. And he's good at choring, so he's going to build the shit out of whatever he builds. My lover would be Katie. Mm-hmm. And that could go. I hope I don't screw it up because I also have my protector as the brother, and I don't want to die in that scenario either. But
all right,
I hope I play my cards right so that plays out. But the hunter gatherer is clearly Glenn. that guy is good at everything. So I'm imagining he's quite a skilled hunter-gatherer as well.
Interesting.
That's my theory on
He's good with dogs. I don't know about hunting, but why not?
He pulls at all kinds of random skills. Yeah, you're right. I bet you he's got a booklet where he knows all the different types of botany and all that shit. Mm-hmm. Can tell me which ones to eat and which ones not to eat because they'll poison me. Make traps and shit. Oh, yeah. I bet you Glenn can do all that. So all right. It's Glenn.
Okay, cool. So your hunter-gatherer was Glenn. Your builder and protector was Wayne, and your lover is Katie.
Yep.
All right. I'll go next. For my hunter-gatherer, I'm actually going to put... I agree with you. Builder-protector has to be Wayne, because not only is he the toughest guy, but he can also, you know... He's a hard worker, so building and protecting covered there. So for hunting, I think I had to go with the next biggest hick on Letterkenny. I had to go with McMurray. I think with McMurray is probably a bit of a hunter. I bet you he's a bit of a hunter, you know. And I bet you he's not a pussy and uses a gun. I bet you he's like a bow.
Yeah, but I bet he's not very good at it.
I don't know.
He talks a big game, but I don't know.
I don't know. So I went with McMurray. And then with Lover. I thought about like the girls in Letterkenny, but they seemed a little kind of, you know, the paint still needed to dry on a few of them. So
I thought that too.
So I went over to the Shorzy side because he said in the universe, and I went with Laura Moore.
Oh,
Laura Moore.
I didn't catch that. Okay, I want to change my answer.
All right,
change my answer.
Yeah, if you want, go ahead.
It's Meeg. It's Meeg.
Meeg. Oh, all right.
Oh my God.
There you go.
I love Kehlani.
Tan, your hunter-gatherer.
Well, now you just like threw me because I wasn't thinking Shorzy Universe.
Neither was I at all.
I was just like Letterkenny.
I think the other.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree with you both. Builder, protector, Wayne, hands down for sure. I feel like he could definitely build me a hut and protect because he's the fighter. That one's a no-brainer. The gatherer and hunter, I feel like Roald would do a good job. I feel like
Roald is
he's feisty and he's like, he would get scrappy and he would like use his nails, I think. And
I feel like he'd be more of a forager than a hunter.
Or even that. I
don't need to eat
them on our doorstep.
So I feel like he would be scrappy.
Okay,
I feel like he's scrappy and he could probably get the work done.
All right. You went off the board and Lover.
And Lover, I'm still going to stick with my Letterkenny because I think Dickens, he's it. He's tall. He's got everything I want. He's tall.
No slim pickings for Dickens.
And he was good as gold to Gail.
It was how Gail talked him up, wasn't it?
And I like that he could count down, right? So amazing. There you go.
I love it. Those were three great questions. Thank you, Jeff. Those three questions were amazing. I did get a question in Discord too from our buddy Jay from Edmonton, and it's a bit of a joke question, but it's funny because he's like, remember when you guys got Kiso on? Remember? That was awesome. So I only bring that up because it wasn't that long ago, but it feels like it was so long ago now.
Yeah.
It was only like mid-November, so a few months ago, but it feels like it was
November.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like so long ago.
One of those like, when you do, so hold on, let me back up a second. When there's exciting news on our podcast and we don't announce it yet, but Al always gets the first news, it's kind of like, you know, at work, only opposite, when they're like, oh, we have a emergency, tell you about some kind of staughting change or something, like, oh, fuck, you know, kind of know what's coming, but somebody's, you don't know the details. But when Al does it, you know, it's like, oh, it's going to be good. Like, there was the one time he's like, we're going to Sudbury. What? Right? Like, then he had all these guest appearances. What? And then that one.
Oh, guys, man. Okay, my question is, what was your, I know Kiso was exciting, but what is your most exciting moment? Was it going to Sudbury and going and doing the podcast live from the farmhouse? Is it being backstage, background and doing that whole weekend where it was like being taken and going here and there and meeting people, that moment or the podcast and interviewing Kiso?
Good question. I think that last time we were in Sudbury,
or meeting our fans, meeting well, everyone that came.
That last trip to Sudbury kind of had a little bit of everything, right? Meeting everyone, meeting Jared in person, being on Shoresy, watching. It had a bit of everything. So I think it's got to be that last, for me anyway, it was that last trip to Sudbury for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, yeah, I mean, obviously meeting everyone that come up, that's always the most special times. Like, I love every time we've interacted with anybody, friends of the show and friends of ours who have come up. I think going back to the first trip to Sudbury, though, that the moment that really hit hard for me was when we arrived at the arena with Kara, and we walked in and she turned the lights on. And the light slowly came to I remember it vividly, stepping through the doors of the arena and the light slowly starting to illuminate. And then you can see the sets there. And then she's like, go ahead. And we're like, oh, really? Man. Like, basically, that do what you want.
Yeah.
Enjoy, guys. And then, we shot. And then we recorded.
Your giggle and your, your giddiness.
It was actually Victor's giggle was
It was so surreal because I'm like, because that whole moment took me back to like even the initial phone call from Al saying, hey, do you want to do a podcast? Right. Yeah. It was full circle. Like, oh my God, that's where we started. Holy shit, we're now having exclusive access to hang out on the set and do what we want. Like, how did we get here? Mm-hmm. Right. And then, of course, everything after, and it just was amazing. But that first trip and that moment when we entered the arena, not even the farm as much to me, that arena.
The arena.
Really hit home.
Yeah.
Jeff in the live stream, he's disappointed someone didn't say Noah Dick for the builder protector. He can raise a barn and fucking they run. And Tannis as hunter.
But they do it. Hold on. My only argument on Noah Dick is love the Amish, but they do it as a community, right?
So barn that means you'd have to work too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to work. I'm on an island with my lover. Like, I love the thinking there, Jeff, but.
And Tannis as the hunter, I bet you she's dynamite with any weapon imaginable. You're probably right. Yeah.
That one's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, guys. That's amazing. I'm going to move on quickly here to, some news. Nominations for the 2024 Canadian Screen Awards have been announced. The new metric is going to clean up this year. They've got so many nominations. So we have Best Comedy Series, Letterkenny, and Bria Mack is nominated for Best Comedy Series. Both of those are new metric productions. Best Direction, Kelly Fife Marshall from Brian Mack Gets Life, Melanie Orr from Children Ruin Everything, Jacob Tierney from Letterkenny, and Jacob Tierney from Shoresy. So Tierney getting two nods for Best Direction. Best Writing, Sasha Leigh Henry from Brian Mack, Kurt Smeaton and Kathleen Phillips from Children Ruin Everything. We watched that. That's not a bad show. And
You were stressed out, though.
It was a bit stressful to watch, and they just got picked up, I think, by CW. So that show's moving over to the CW. Best Editing, Gloria Tong for Bria Mack, and Kyle Martin, who's a Letterkenny editor, but this one here he's getting for Children Ruin Everything. Lots of stuff for Bria Mack Gets a Life, which is one of the newer shows from New Metric. Best Sound Coordination, Dan Skeen for Letterkenny, Dan Skeen, Sean Skeen, and Cam Fergus for Shoresy. So two nods there for Best Stunt Coordination. Best Ensemble Performance, Letterkenny's ensemble cast is up for that award. Best Achievement in Casting, Children Ruin Everything and Letterkenny are up for that award. I feel like Letterkenny's getting a lot of nods this year, being their last year. Megan Rath for Children Ruin Everything is for Best Lead Performer. Lots of stuff here of note. Ellen Jade, who plays Shania, she's actually up for Best Lead Performer in a Drama Series for a show called Little Bird. I've heard a lot of great stuff about that. I'm going to have to check that out. And Laurence Leboeuf is up for Best Lead Performance in Transplant. So not New Metric, but Letterkenny adjacent. Good to see some of those actors there. Best Sports Host, Kate Burness for CFL Touchdown Atlantic. She you know her from Letterkenny from the championship. What the hell is that? Whatever season that was.
The senior hockey championship.
Yeah, the senior hockey championship. And Jay Onre for SportsCenter with Jay Onre. And Jay Baruchel for Son of a Critch for Best Guest Performance. And then on the movie end, Blackberry is just like mopping everything up. If you haven't seen the Blackberry movie, watch it. It's really good. but for best motion picture, art direction, casting, cinematography, costume, like everything. And Baruchel is also getting a nod for best performance in a lead role. So, I mean, yeah, this year, the Canadian Screen Awards look really interesting for New Metric anyway. They've got a lot of representation. And that's all I have for tonight. I hope you guys had a good time. I hope you enjoyed it because we basically built something out of, from nothing. And again, thank you to everyone who joined us tonight. And thank you for all the messages and recordings that were sent to us. Again, if you want to hear yourself on the podcast, all you have to do is follow us on Instagram and send us a recorded DM. You can actually do a voice DM. And as long as it's not, you know, horrible and hateful, we will play it on the podcast. Matt, any final comments?
This was one of my favorite episodes to record in a long time. I'll be completely honest. This was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. The format, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew kind of what we talked about really loosely. But I got to say, the pop-in guests, the unknown questions, this was a lot of fun, man. We should do this again.
Definitely.
Challenges. Yeah. I like these ones. Like, I didn't know where the questions were coming, and some of them were Letterkenny focus or Letterkenny adjacent or just entertainment industry. But I like this idea of just opening up the window a bit and talking about some other things and circling it back to what we love. So thank you, everyone who sent in questions or joined when you did. This was a good one, guys. Thanks a lot.
Tim?
This was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I agree with Matt once again. Yeah, thank you so much to everyone. The questions were great. Al, you did a great job pulling this all together. And thank you to everyone who helped and popped in. It was so great to see face. I love the stories. I just love the stories. I love everybody meeting up and so happy for Jeff. I didn't recognize that. Al showed me your photo of Torrance, and I'm like, he doesn't have a beard. I don't get it. I don't recognize him. I didn't.
Then when I showed her what he looked like as J-Rock, her mind went.
I'm like,
wait a minute. Actors can do that?
No, I know actors can do. I just, yeah, didn't like. Yeah. I wouldn't. He could have bumped into me, like probably like knocked me over, and I still wouldn't have recognized him. So that is a lot of fun. I love that for him so much. So. Thank you so much. This was great.
All right. That was a lot of fun. All right. Let's play us off here with the song Your Man by Joji. I just love this song. Have you ever loved? And that's all we have for this episode. Next week will be a surprise for all of us, so stay tuned. If you'd like to support this podcast, please tell a friend. Also, follow us on most social media outlets at ProtoStandPod. Thanks for joining us. Now we're going to go continue to the after party with all the lovely DJs. On behalf of the DJs who joined us tonight, Tanya, Matt, and Victor, who's still in London, and myself, thank you for listening and have a great week. Young man. Oh, man.